Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Chaplain Johnson and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Chaplain Johnson.
Let's pray. Father God, we begin today by thanking you. You know, it's common for us to ask and less common for us to say thank you for what you do. So we thank you for life and health and strength. We thank you for insights that you've given us this far in this session. We thank you for corporate wisdom that we have gained through interaction with one another. We thank you for healing for some of us or people back home who have experienced illness. And we thank you for inner peace when the going gets tough. Thank you, God. And yet today we ask that in our deliberations and our decisions today, that all that we do will be guided by your hand. This is our prayer. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary would take the roll.
Mr. President, 50 members are present.
Quorum being present, the Senate will be ready for business. Without objection, we'll go to order of business number 2, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we are Committee on Agriculture, Livestock, and Irrigation report that Senate resolutions 26 and 27 be adopted and that House Bills 93 and 94 be concurred in. Senator Mike Lang, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Judiciary report that Senate Bill 182 do pass, that Senate Resolutions 8 and 9 be adopted, 8 and 10 be adopted, that Senate Bills 99 and 187 do pass as amended, that House Bill 92 be concurred in, and that House Bill 183 be concurred in as amended. Senator Keith Regier, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Legislative Administration report that House Bill 28 be concurred in, and that House Bill 260 be concurred in as amended. Senator Mike Lang, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Taxation report that House Bills 25 and 50 6 be concurred in. Senator Mike Greg Kurtz, Chair, that is all, Mr. President.
That objection, the committee reports are adopted. That objection will be on order business number 5, messages from the other House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate the following actions. The following House bills were on this day, the right three several times and passed, title and history agreed to, and are here transmitted to the Senate for concurrence. House Bill 156, Buttry, House Bill 163, Running Wolf, House Bill 167, Kornauer, House Bill 203, Beattie, House Bill 210, Marshall, House Bill 210, Brewster, 211, Brewster, House Bill 214, Bertoglio, House Bill 215, Beattie, House Bill 224, Harvey, House Bill 227, Moore, House Bill 228, Lear, House Bill 231, Lear. Respectfully, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House, that is all, Mr. President.
That objection will be in order business number 6, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bills 243 to 254 have been introduced, read first time and referred to committee. House Bills 156, 163, 167, 203, 210, 211, 214, 215, 224, 227, 228, and 231 have been introduced and read. That is all, Mr. President.
Senator Morgeau.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an introduction.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President, and members of the body. Today, I'd like to welcome Montanans who came to the state capitol to support the Montana state constitution and ask us legislators to continue to defend it and leave it as is. For those of you in the gallery who came here for the rally today, I'd like to invite you to stand up. And then in the interest of time, Mr. President, I won't read a complete list of the communities, but we've got people here from Great Falls, Billings, Lewistown, Carbon County, Ravalli County, Park County, Helena, Bozeman, Missoula, the Flathead, and many more. So welcome to the Capitol.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Curdy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. On your desk, you've received an invite to Pianissimo in the Capitol. And if you remember, for last session, we didn't do this because of the pandemic, but previously we've had the U of M School of Music come in and provide a piano concert free of charge to members of the legislature and committee members. And so on your desk, you have the invitation please, if you want to come, sign them, give them to me by Monday. We need to have a head count so we can turn around and invite some of the other local musicians to attend. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. President.
Senator Beard.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I be off the record and out of the journal for the purposes of introductions, please?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. Today, we welcome Jim Williams. During his career, during his time with the state of Montana, he worked at the state examiner's office as an auditor, the central office as a fiscal analyst, and the legislative auditor's office, the governor's office of budget and program planning as a budget analyst, the Department of State Lands, and the Central Services Division Administration. Jim was inspired by his grandfather, who was elected to the 1921 legislature, as well as his uncle David Franklin Williams, who was elected to serve a term in the Montana legislature representing Broadwater County in 1903. Uncle David was the father of Myrna Loy. Jim Williams is here today with his wife, Marilyn, surrounded by many members of his family, Ty and Wendy Williams, and grandson, Whit Williams, who we all know here on the Senate floor. They're supporting Whit in his journey into this legislative process, working here at the Capitol. Jim, we appreciate all the hard work and dedication you bestowed upon the state of Montana. You gave us nearly 30 years. We thank you for your service, sir. Thank you.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to be off the record and out of the journal for the purposes of an introduction.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. It is a distinct honor and pleasure to introduce Senator Dick Barrett, or reintroduce to many of you, who is in the gallery. Senator, if you could please stand. Senator Barrett was a professor at the University of Montana in economics for many, many, many years. And once he retired from that service, he then stepped into the role of legislature. He was in the House and then served in the Senate, and continues to appreciate the work that we do. And we are forever grateful for everything that you do.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to be on the record for a recognition of an anniversary. Mr. President, on this date in February 1st, 1945, a native son of Judith Basin Country in Montana was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor for conspicuous gallantry in action during the Battle of Via Crocetta in Italy. Captain William Wiley Gault shall forever be enshrined in the hearts of grateful Montanans for his sacrifice in defense of his men, our state, and his country. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. That objection will be on order business number 7, second reading of bills. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole for the consideration of business on second reading.
You have heard the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. Will Senator Gross take the chair?
Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 171. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 171, introduced by Kay Regeer, a bill for an act entitled authorizing the Department of Corrections to distribute an inmate's trust account funds and tangible personal property after an inmate dies while incarcerated and providing an immediate effective date.
Sections?
Sections 1 through 3.
Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 171. What is your pleasure, Senator Regeer?
Madam Chair, I move when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 171, it recommend the same do pass. Madam Chair.
Senator Regeer.
Members of the Senate, inmates' deaths in custody, the vast majority of which due to natural causes, are an unfortunate part of operating a prison. Senate Bill 171 does not address and is not intended to address the disposition of any property or assets an inmate might have outside the prison walls. This bill only seeks to provide guidance to the department in the disposition of inmate funds and property within the prison. When an inmate passes away, it is common for he or she to have up to a couple hundred dollars in his or her inmate trust account. This money could come from several different sources, including earning at the prison, contributions from family members, etc. The inmate will also have personal items such as clothing, books, and personal photos. Senate Bill 171 honors the inmate's wishes in regards to who receives his property upon death. Currently, there is no statute that speaks directly to the disposition of inmate property and the process they are currently using, which is to provide a form for the inmate to indicate how he or she would like their remaining property in the prison distributed. And I'll just quickly go over the highlights with the bill with you. If you look on page 1, starting with line 11, inmate designates a beneficiary. And then if the inmate dies, there is a beneficiary that will receive their tangible personal property. Line 22 to 24, the department pays for cremation or burial. The costs of the disposition of the remains must be deducted from the inmate's trust account. Line 27, the department may not distribute trust account funds until at least 45 days after the inmate's death. And then on page 2, line 2, a department employee may not be a beneficiary. Then on line 4, page 2, department can't locate the beneficiary, then they will transfer the account funds to the Department of Revenue where they deal with unclaimed funds. Madam Chair.
Are there amendments?
Madam Chair, I move to amend Senate Bill 171 with Amendment SB 17122, signed Senator Olson.
What is your pleasure, Senator Olson?
Madam Chair, I move that Senate Bill 171 be amended and request that Amendment Number SB 0171.002.002 be posted and deemed read, Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Madam Chair, members, I'd like to thank the sponsor of this bill. I have to admit, when I saw that, I thought, oh, great, we're actually accomplishing something. And I appreciate that this bill was being brought. We heard from the Department of Corrections that they're already doing this, and they do already have a form that conforms to their trust responsibilities when they hold trust property of somebody else's. And they have a beneficiary form in which you can designate the beneficiary and they get, as was described, your money and your property. So if I'm happy about this bill and they're already doing it, why am I bringing an amendment? Well, because the way we've written the law creates real confusion in a couple of areas, and so I'd like to explain those to you. I think many of you have already experienced what it means to sign a beneficiary form with your bank. Your 401ks require you do this. It's one of those forms in which you can avoid probate. And I go into that because the first amendment that I want to provide is on the amendment line 15, in which I cross out conforming to the requirements of 72.2.522 sub 2. And the reason this is important to cross that out is because the form cannot conform to those requirements. Why? because those requirements are the requirements for a holographic will. So in order to have a will that then would be honored by the law, which means what? It goes through before a court. The court appoints a personal representative to make sure that your wishes in that will are respected. A holographic will can be as simple as you taking out a piece of paper and say, I, Andrea Olson, give all of my belongings here on the desk to my seatmate. That is enough. And you have to sign and date it. It has to be all in your own handwriting, signed and dated. That is a legal binding will. But that requires probate. So leaving that in there creates a direct conflict with what a beneficiary form is, which is a contract between the person who is holding your money in trust and you as the designated or as the owner of that account. That's the first problem. The second problem is located on the amendment in 22 through 24. This part essentially breaks the contract. In the contract, you are stating that I want my property to go to this person. Here the Department of Corrections is saying, we're inserting ourselves in as a beneficiary. Now, you could have I could as an inmate say, I would like as my beneficiary, the first person to be the Department of Corrections, so they will properly bury me. But that's in direct conflict with the provision number 4, where it says a department employee cannot be named as a beneficiary unless the employee is the inmate's next of kin. So next, what else is wrong with this is that even though funeral expenses are a priority in a probate for what is paid out of your estate, and remember your estate is everything you own when you die, even though funeral expenses would be a priority, that is still something that must go through the court in order to be honored under the priority. But what's more problematic about this section is that what if your inmate's beneficiary, what if my beneficiary happens to be my minor grandchild who would not have priority or the ability to take my body? They wouldn't have the capacity to be agreeing or not agreeing to take my body, but they do have the capacity to inherit from me. I can give that money and my belongings to a grandchild. So this section here, one, doesn't conform to the form that's already being used by the department and the one that they indicate they will continue to use, and it does insert the department in as a beneficiary under the will in a way that would be in conflict with our probate laws and their obligation as a trustee. The next problem is on page 2, that I'm trying to fix, I should say, the last problem I'm trying to fix, is it says the department cannot locate, if the department cannot locate the inmate's beneficiary, and you have to remember that on the form, you have to give the full name and the Social Security number. So if our corrections department and the justice system cannot locate those people, they should likely know why they can't locate them. But if they can't do it, it says within a reasonable time. Well, nobody wants within a reasonable time. When people die, some people want to get rid of their people's stuff within a day or two, right? And some people keep it in a storage unit for 20 years. This is very real human problems. And so I think that it's important. I've known dear friends that I didn't know died for 6 months, over 6 months. I didn't know that they had died. And so, yes, now I read the obituaries every day. But not everybody does that, and we can't expect them to do that. So I think that you have to state what is a reasonable time. And so I chose 1 year, and I chose that for a reason. One, the probate code, if you're going to probate something, you cannot even close an estate for at least 6 months by law. 6 months after you open it. So the very minimum would be 6 months, and that's rarely happens. But under the, we're talking about sending money to the account for abandoned property, and even banks and et cetera. So without this amendment, with this bill the way it is, it's creating more confusion than just leaving things exactly like they are. I believe that with these amendments, we're doing what the department is doing, and we're following their obligations. And so I ask you to amend this law with this amendment. Thank you for your time, and I promise not to send you a bill for my legal advice. Thanks, buddy.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Ray Gere.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the Senate, I would ask you to resist this amendment. Corrections does not pursue the estates of inmates. We're only talking about those few little things that they accrue while they are in prison. Some of the concerns that were brought out here, page 1, line 12, the department shall complete a form designated. All those concerns could be spelled out on that form. So it makes this unnecessary. A statement from DOC says, respectfully, we do not believe this amendment is necessary. Under the rules of statutory construction, our language regarding this very narrow category of inmate property is specific and later in time than the general lien statute. We believe our statute is sufficient for this limited purpose. This bill came out of committee 10-1. I'll let you guess who the dissenting vote was. Vote read on this amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, back to the original bill. Is there discussion on the bill? Oh, we've got a vote on the amendment. The question now, Senator, would you care to close on the amendment?
I guess I'm being asked to close. Thank you, Madam Chair. It's true that the department said that I had put in suggested language to make sure that they put on it, that it was clear that they were putting this lien on there. That's what they were responding to. I don't think that they're ready to not support any changes because we've passed it out of committee and they believe it's going to pass. But I do want to encourage you that what this does is create a very problematic language things that are going to cause problems for the department. And so, thank you.
All right, members, the question now arises on the motion of Senator Olson that Senate Bill 171 be amended. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Would any member like to change the vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 16 senators vote aye and 34 senators vote nay.
16 having voted aye and 34 having voted no, the amendment has failed. Now we will go to discussion on the bill. Is there discussion? Seeing no discussion, Senator Regeer, would you like to close on your bill? The senator has closed, and the question now arises on the motion of Senator Regeer that when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration Senate Bill 171, it recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Would any member wish to change the vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 37 senators vote aye and 13 senators vote nay.
37 having voted aye, 13 having voted no. Senate Bill 171 has passed second reading. Members of the Senate, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 6. What is your pleasure, Senator Regeer?
Madam Chair, I move that the nomination transmitted by the Governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution 6, Madam Chair.
Senator Regeer.
Members of the Senate, Resolution 6 is the Governor's appointments to the Judicial Standards Commission. There are two of them, Seth Burgley, Big Fork, and Roger Webb, Park City. Seth Burgley was a representative here for four sessions. I think all of you that were here last session know him. He's a small business owner in the Flathead, graduate of Ohio State University. Roger Webb, some of you that were here maybe three sessions ago will remember Senator Webb. He spent a few sessions in the Senate. He's a His bio, he is a business owner, and he has a BS in industrial management, and these are good appointments for the Judicial Standards Commission. Madam Chair.
Right. Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, would the sponsor care to close? The sponsor is closed, and the question now arises on the motion of Senator Regeer that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Resolution 6, it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 43 senators vote aye and 7 senators vote nay.
43 having voted aye, 7 having voted no. Senate Resolution 6 has been concurred in. Members of the Senate, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 9. What is your pleasure, Senator Regeer?
Madam Chair, I move that the nomination transmitted by the Governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution number 9. Madam Chair.
Senator Regeer.
Members of the Senate, Senate Resolution 9 is the Governor's appointee to the Board of Crime Control. It is Doug Overman from Kalispell. Doug is the Chief of Police in Kalispell. He's got a bachelor's degree in sociology with a criminology emphasis in 1995. He has extensive experience in investigations, captain, patrol sergeant, police detective, school resource officer, probation and parole, as well as a hostage negotiator, and has lots of post-training. He would be a good asset to the Board of Crime Control, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, the question now arises on the motion of Senator Regeer that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Resolution 9, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted, and does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators having voted aye, Senate Resolution 9 has been concurred in. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 28. What is your pleasure, Senator Lang?
Madam Chairman, I move that when this nomination is transmitted by the Governor, be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution 28. Madam Chairman.
Senator Lang.
Fellow Senators, I bring you today a confirmation for the Department of Agriculture, proposed, nominated by the Governor of Montana. Is Christy Clark. Christy Clark grew up in Shoto country, raised on a ranch there. She served some time in the House of Representatives, and then she went to work at the Department of Agriculture. And during that process, she was able to have different positions and worked through the process and saw how the Department of Ag worked, and apparently had some own ideas of herself of how it could be resurrected or how it could be changed. And therefore, she took over acting director and was finally nominated by the Governor of Montana to serve in this position. Department of Ag is a very instrumental part in the state of Montana. As you know, Montana's agriculture program is the number one industry in the state. And she is in charge of a lot of things. One of the things I know that Christy did was go through, and anytime a new director comes in, they have to ask the employees, what do you want? This is what I expect of you. She wrote some retention plans for employees to either follow, get on board with her ideas, or let's talk about them and try to straighten it out. But they do a lot of the licensings for herbicides, fertilizers, and remember, this is the Department of Ag, not the Department of Livestock, but I'm proud to announce that nominate Christy Clark for the directorship of the Department of Agriculture, Madam Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, members, just to clarify on the Senate resolutions, the motion is to pass, not to concur. So as many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 45 senators vote aye and 5 senators vote no.
45 having voted aye, 5 having voted no. Senate Resolution 28 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 49. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 49, introduced by Cuff, by request of the State Auditor, a bill for an act entitled Act Generally Revising Cabin Site Sales, revising the cancellation of a sale requirements amending section and providing an immediate effective date and an applicability date.
Sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the Senate, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 49. What is your pleasure, Senator Cuff?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 49, that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator
Thank you,
Cuff.
Madam Chair.
Senator Cuff.
Members of the body, Senate Bill 49 has to do with the State Land Board and some of their decisions. And thank you for considering support for Senate Bill 49. Land Board is made up of 5 elected officials, has a constitutional duty to maintain full market value of the sale of state-owned cabin and home sites across Montana. That's what this bill helps facilitate. Part of the problem of the current cabin lease site sales is the ability for the lessee to cancel the sale when there are competing bids. As a land board member, the state auditor watched as many cabin sales were canceled after a bid bond was placed by a third party. The lessee would then put the property up for sale again, and if there were no other bidders, they would purchase the property for the minimum bid. Now, contrast that with a recent sale that had multiple bidders, a minimum bid of $43,000, and that actually sold for over $90,000. Senate Bill 49 addresses the problem by not allowing the cancellation of a sale if another person has deposited a bid bond on the cabin or home site. Passing this bill will better allow the State Land Board to meet their constitutional obligations to attain full market value and be a benefit to Montana citizens. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Are there amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion, would the sponsor like to close on the bill? The sponsor is closed, and the question now rises on the motion of Senator Cuff that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 49, I recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted, and does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 47 senators vote aye and 3 senators vote nay.
47 having voted aye, 3 having voted no. Senate Bill 49 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 51. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 51, introduced by Fitzpatrick, by request of the Department of Administration, a bill for an act entitled Act Modifying the Opening Submission and Inspection of Bids and Proposals, allowing public comment within 7 days of notice of intent to award a contract, and amending sections.
Sections.
1 through 5.
Members of the Senate, you now have before you Senate Bill 51. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 51, it recommends the same do pass.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What this bill does is it modifies the procurement process that the state of Montana uses. And what happens currently under the procurement process is that the state goes out for a request for a proposal. Proposals then come in, bids come in, and there's a process where the state then often conducts interviews. And those interviews are open to competitors, the general public. And what frequently happens is that the department will sit down with a person who has bid. The competitor comes in with video cameras, films the whole process, learns the questions that are being answered. And then when they come into their interview, they're in a position to undercut the competitor, or they know the answers to the questions and they're better prepared. And what's happening as a result of this process is that we are getting fewer people participating in the process, and then some people are not bidding at all. So we are potentially getting higher prices for services than we normally would. So what this bill does is it more or less closes off that interview process. It will be a closed process, and then once a bid has been awarded or released under the terms of this document, people will be able to see, you know, what the proposal is, what the bid was. So the idea here is that we'll get more competition, more people coming in and trying to bid the work of the state of Montana and hopefully get some lower prices for the taxpayer. So with that, I'd ask for your support.
Are there amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Discussion on the bill. Seeing no discussion, with the sponsor carrier closed, the sponsor is closed, and the question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 51, it recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators having voted aye and none having voted no, Senate Bill 51 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 73. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 73, introduced by McGilvery, by request of the Legislative Audit Committee, a bill for an act entitled an act clarifying an agency's duty to permit inspection, examination, and reproduction of records for legislative audit purposes, providing an audit materials are confidential prior to presentation of the audit report to the Legislative Audit Committee, providing a failure to comply with duty constitutes official misconduct, amending section, and providing an immediate effective date.
Sections.
Section 1.
Members of the Senate, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 73. What is your pleasure? Senator McGilvery.
Madam Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 73, that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator McGilvery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 73 is a bill that came out of Audit Committee unanimously and out of State Administration unanimously. What this does is it starts with the Montana Constitution, Article 5, Section 10, Clause 4, says that the legislature shall establish a post-legislative post-audit committee. So the responsibility of legislative audit is to obviously audit state agencies and department of the state government. Our job on audit committee and the auditor's job is to make sure that they're spending the money wisely, efficiently, thoughtfully, and that they are doing what they do according to law. The legislative audit has helped many agencies do a better job at spending our money, the taxpayers' money, and what this bill does is it goes, puts some teeth in the Audit Act and says that a department of the government of Montana has a responsibility and a duty. That's one of the big words in here that changes. A duty to give information to the legislative auditor when they are requesting information for an audit. What's happened in past years is that some departments have been slow, have pushed back, have made excuses, dragged their feet. And ultimately what happens when that happens is if they drag their feet long enough, the information becomes stale and the auditor cannot use that information. So it becomes worthless. So this bill, again, puts some teeth in the Audit Act. It says if this information is in their possession, under their control, they have to provide it to the auditor. Or if they don't provide it to the auditor, they're guilty of what's called official misconduct. Official misconduct means that they can lose their job. With that, Madam Chair, I'll stand down.
Amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Discussion on the bill. Senator Hayman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I rise in support of this bill. I have been on audit committee for 9 years. I currently am chair, and I have witnessed firsthand how difficult it is at times for audit to have access to key information and data. And also, we are auditing agencies' funds for the federal government, and this is oftentimes required that we capture very sensitive information, and all of our auditors are used to providing security on these issues. So I would just encourage you to support this bill.
Mr. President.
Madam Chair, members of the body, I'm going to rise in support of this bill. I can tell you I serve on audit. I've served on there every session since I've been here. We do very important nonpartisan work for the entire legislative body. This has come up as an issue. I don't think this is something we're looking at, you know, putting people away. What it is a deterrent, whether it be from any executive branch. So with that, I respectfully ask for due pass.
Seeing no further discussion, would the sponsor care to close on their bill? The sponsor is closed, and the question now arises on the motion of Senator McGilvery that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 7-3, it recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted, and does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye, Senate Bill 73 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 77. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 77, introduced by Morgeau by request of the Montana Districting and Apportionment Commission, a bill for an act entitled Act Generally Revising Laws Related to Redistricting Data for Inmates, requiring the Department of Corrections to collect certain address and demographic information from incarcerated individuals, requiring the State Census and Economic Information Center to revise federal decennial census population data to reallocate incarcerated individuals, requiring local governments to use the adjusted data to revise election boundaries that are based on population, amending section and providing an effective date and an applicability date.
Sections
1 through 11.
Members of the Senate, you now have before you Senate Bill 77. What is your pleasure, Senator Morgeau?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 77, that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Morgeau.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the body. Senate Bill 77 creates a process for the Department of Corrections to collect the last known address for each prison inmate prior to incarceration. With this information, the Census and Economic Information Center at the Montana Department of Commerce would adjust the decennial 10-year census population data provided by the U.S. Census Bureau to place each last known inmate at the last known address rather than at the prison where the inmate is incarcerated on census day. The data is critical for the commission when they're drawing the legislative lines accurately. And last cycle, the commission was able to adjust the census data for about half of the state's inmates, but the task was hampered by a lack of complete accurate data on prisoner addresses. This bill would actually ensure that the commission in the future has all of that data available. The Department of Corrections has adjusted its intake process to collect this inmate data for the address data, and this just codifies that. So they're already doing this. This just would codify that particular effort. The Census and Economic Information Center would provide better data sets with this information, and the Commission will be able to benefit from the use of the existing state resources rather than using outside contractors to go out and collect this data for us. What this bill really does is it just structures things to make sure we're getting the best possible data for drawing our state districts when the State Redistricting Commission does their work. This bill was unanimously supported by the commission and would ask for your support on this bill today. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion, would the sponsor care to close? The sponsor is closed, and the question now rises on the motion of Senator Morgeau that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 77, recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 43 senators vote aye and 7 senators vote nay.
43 having voted aye, 7 having voted no. Senate Bill 77 has passed second reading. Members of the Senate, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 86. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 86, introduced by Morgeau by request of the Montana Districting and Apportionment Commission, a bill for an act entitled limiting the number of registered voters in each election precinct and amending section.
Sections?
Section 1.
Members of the Senate, you now have before you Senate Bill 86. What is your pleasure, Senator Morgeau?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 86, that I recommend the same do pass.
Senator Morgeau.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the body. Senate Bill 86 establishes a maximum precinct size of 2,000 registered voters. Right now, it is essentially the Wild West when we put together precincts. The commission encountered a wide range of precinct populations when they made the creation of districts of approximately equal populations. It just made it more challenging when they were doing their work. An example is with Cascade and Yellowstone counties, which have precincts ranging from more than 5,000 registered voters to less than 500. So what this would do is it really aid the future commissions to follow precinct boundaries drawn by counties more closely in the future for their redistricting work. It makes legislative districts more manageable and less daunting for candidates, volunteers, and workers. It allows more precinct people to participate in local central committees. And as I already discussed, there are currently vast discrepancies between the sizes of rural and urban precincts across the counties, as well as within counties. And this would just create a little more consistency where there are extremely large precincts or extremely small precincts, just allowing them to kind of follow those boundaries to do a better job in their work. Again, this was unanimously supported by the Redistricting Commission. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Any discussion on the bill? Seeing none, would the sponsor care to close? The sponsor is closed, and the question now rises on the motion of Senator Morgeau that when the committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 86, it recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 47 senators vote aye and 3 senators vote nay.
47 having voted aye and 3 having voted no, Senate Bill 86 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 136. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 136, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act intended on revising laws related to injunctions and providing that if a construction project is enjoined, that the property may be secured and protected from damage.
Sections.
Section 1 through 2.
Members, you now have before you Senate Bill 136. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does arise report after having had in consideration Senate Bill 136, it recommends the same do pass.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 136, what this does is it simply says that if you have a injunction entered while you're performing construction work, the person whose property has been affected can take steps to protect the property from damage. That would be things like weather, snow, ice, those things, types of things that can cause damage to property. And the other thing it does is it can protect the property for safety purposes. That way, while if there's an injunction or temporary restraining order in place, nobody gets hurt if they go out to the job site. So this is just, I think, a safety and protection of private property measure. Ask for your support.
Amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion, would the sponsor like to close? The sponsor is closed, and the question now rises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when the committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 136, it recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Senator Molnar? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye. Senate Bill 136 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 168. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 168, introduced by Hertz, Lynch, and Noland, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising State Lottery Laws Relating to Sales Agents' Commissions, allowing sales agents to receive an additional commission for the sale of certain winning lottery tickets, and amending sections.
Sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members, you now have before you Senate Bill 168. What is your pleasure, Senator Hertz?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 168, that I recommend the same do pass.
Senator Hertz.
Madam Chair, members of the body, I worked with the lottery director on this bill. The Lottery Commission would like to provide a little more incentives to those individuals selling lottery tickets. Currently, right now, just to let you know, the commission to those individuals selling lottery tickets is 5%, so you sell a dollar ticket, you get a nickel. So the big change in this bill is if you go to page 3, the Lottery Commission shall provide a sales commission that is 1% of the prize for a maximum of $50,000 to any agent selling a ticket valued at $100,000 or more. So to get that $50,000 maximum commission, you need to sell a $5 million lottery ticket, which is typical what might happen with the Powerball tickets. And then the $100,000 ticket would be 1% at $1,000. Full disclosure here, three of my five locations in Montana, I do sell lottery tickets. In 30 plus years of selling lottery tickets, I can never recall selling a lottery ticket that was worth more than $100,000. I would request a due pass. Thank you.
Amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion, would the senator care to close? The senator is closed, and the question now rises on the motion of Senator Hertz that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 168, it recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 42 senators vote aye and 8 senators vote nay.
42 having voted aye, 8 having voted no. Senate Bill 168 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 177. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 177, introduced by Zolnikoff, a bill for an act intended to revising types of employment benefits that an employer shall consider as having value or compensation to an employee, revising the definition of employment benefit and amending section.
Sections.
Section 1.
Members of the Senate, you now have before you Senate Bill 177. What is your pleasure, Senator Zolnikoff?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 177, that they recommend the same do pass.
Senator Zolnikoff.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. So this bill basically clarifies a little bit of what the good senator from Rogue Valley County passed last time. So we're not discussing what was passed last time. All this bill does is clarify what employment benefit is, and that includes health and disability, retirement, profit sharing, group accidental death and dismemberment benefits, unpaid leave, and terms of employment, things along those lines. So if you have any questions, I will stand. Thank you.
Amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor is closed, and the question now rises on the motion of Senator Zolnikoff when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 177, I recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 41 senators vote aye and 9 senators vote nay.
41 having voted aye, 9 having voted no. Senate Bill 177 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 207. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 207, introduced by B. Brown, a bill for an act intended clarifying the decree process for certain water compacts, clarifying the objections period, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date, retroactive applicability date, and a termination date.
Sections.
Sections 1 through 6.
What is your pleasure, Senator Brown?
I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill number 207, it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Brown.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. I'm going to start. This sounds a lot more ominous than it is, I guess. I want to start by saying that this has nothing to do with the water court. I mean, it does, but it doesn't. It has nothing to do with my support or opposition to the water court or the water compact itself. It really has nothing to do with that. What it does have to do with is not that many months ago, I went to everybody really in the western part of the state, you know, pretty good percentage of the western part of the state received a letter in the mail saying that if you wish to object to the water compact, now's your time that you need to do that. So I go to this meeting, and that had been a few months after that. I go to the meeting in a small part, a little White Pine area in my district. There was about 200 people there. At least half of them didn't even understand how they should file an objection or whether they should file an objection and how to file an objection. They just really didn't know. And so, I really believe that, and what this is doing is really just extending the time period in which they have to file that objection. It's not really going to make a difference in the water court. It's just to assure that the people, when we come out the other side of this, because we are at some point in time, the compact will be settled. We're going to come out on the other side of this, and I want to be sure that the people in my district and many of the other districts surrounding me feel like they have had adequate time and adequate ability to, many of these people are having to seek legal counsel just to file this. So it's really just to see that they can be sure that everybody that wants to object is. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion, would the sponsor care to close? The sponsor is closed, and the question now rises on the motion of Senator Brown that when the committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 207, to recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? This clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye, Senate Bill 207 has passed second reading. The question, members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 34. What is your pleasure, Senator Small?
Madam Chairman, I move that when the nominations transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance to Senate Resolution number 34.
Senator Small.
Madam Chair, Senate Resolution 34 is the appointments to the Board of Private Securities made by the governor and submitted by written communication dated January 2nd of 2023. There are two people currently up for the board submission. One is Heidi Visokan from Plentywood, Montana. She will be appointed to a term ending August 1st of 2024. And the other one is Gabe Zeiler from Sydney, Montana, appointed to a term ending August 1st of 2024. That's it.
Any discussion? Seeing none, would the senator care to close? The senator is closed, and the question now rises on the motion of Senator Manzella.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe I rise on a point of parliamentary point, but I'm actually not positive on that.
Senator Manzella.
I have a question. Today is Montana Constitution Day, and in reviewing Article 6, which is the executive branch, Section 7, 20 departments, I would like an interpretation of what this constitutional provision means as it relates to the 9 appointments that we've been asked to give today.
Senator Manzella.
Who would that be addressed to?
Senator, the Senate will stand at ease.
Yeah, I can't answer that one. Not even good folks either. She threw him a stumper.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'll answer this question. So the Constitution is correct. It has 20 departments, and we have various departments in state government. There's the Department of Ag, the Department of Livestock, so forth. My understanding is correct. These are boards which are under the Department of Labor. So what happens is that the bureaucracy staffs these, and we have a board which then refers questions to the you send inquiries to the board, and then the bureaucracy in the Department of Labor answers most of the questions and handles it. So this is all appointments that would be under the Department of Labor.
All right. The Senate will be in order. Senator Mazzella, discussion.
I appreciate that interpretation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further discussion, Senator Regeer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Does sponsor yield to a question?
Will the sponsor yield?
Yes, I do.
Senator Regeer.
Madam Chair, Senator, could you give us a little overview of what the Board of Private Security does?
Senator Small.
You know, sorry, Madam Chair, so during the hearing, we were actually given all these answers because none of us were actually sure. But unfortunately, I cannot remember today.
Senator Regeer.
That's a pretty good, secure answer for me. Thank you.
All right. Further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, the question now arises on the motion of Senator Small that when the committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Resolution 36, that recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 48 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
48 having voted aye and 2 having voted no, Senate Resolution 36 has passed second reading. Senate Resolution 34 has passed second reading. Members of the Senate, you now have before you Senate Resolution 36. What is your pleasure, Senator Small?
Madam Chairman, I move that when the nominations transmitted by the Governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution Number 36.
Senator Small.
Madam Chair, Senate Resolution 36 is for the Board of Funeral Service, and these are made by the Governor and submitted by written communication dated January 2nd of 2023. Up for appointments today, we have three people. Jim Axelson from Butte, Montana, who will be appointed to a term ending July 1st of 27. Daniel McGrath from Butte, Montana, appointed to a term ending July 1st, 2027. And Jason Watkins from Kalispell, Montana, appointed to a term ending July 1st, 2027. Thank you.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing no discussion, would you care to close on the bill, sponsor? Sponsor is closed, and the question now rises on the motion of Senator Small that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Resolution 36, to recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye, Senate Resolution 36 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 37. What is your pleasure, Senator Small?
Madam Chairman, I move that the nominations transmitted by the Governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution Number 37.
Senator Small.
Madam Chair, Senate Resolution Number 37 is for the State Electrical Board, and I do know what they do. Up today, we have three appointments. We have Stacy Knuths from Glendive, Montana, appointed to a term ending July 1st of 2026. We have Clay Ledbetter from Missoula, Montana, appointed to a term ending July 1st of 2024. And we have Myrna Terry from Kalispell, Montana, appointed to a term ending July 1st of 2025. Thank you.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would the senator care to close? The senator is closed, and the question now arises on the motion of Senator Small that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Resolution 37 to recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 having voted aye, Senate Resolution 37 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 39. What is your pleasure, Senator Small?
Madam Chairman, I move that the nominations transmitted by the Governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution Number 39.
Senator Small.
Madam Chair, Senate Resolution Number 39 is for the Board of Public Accountants. Up today, we have five appointees. We have Sarah Ann Hamlin from White Sulphur Springs, Montana, appointed to a term ending July 1st of 2026. We have Mike Hyote from Anaconda, Montana, appointed to a term ending July 1st of 26. John Jacobson from Billings, Montana, appointed to a term ending July 1st of 2026. We have Mike Johns, Deer Lodge, Montana, appointed to a term ending July 30th of 2025. And Dan Vukovich from Great Falls, appointed to a term ending on June 30th of 2025. Thank you.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, would the senator care to close? The senator is closed, and the question now rises on the motion of Senator Small that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Resolution 39, I recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Senator Molnar? Any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 having voted aye, Senate Resolution 39 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 41. What is your pleasure, Senator Small?
Madam Chairman, I move that the nomination transmitted by the Governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution number 41.
Senator Small.
Madam Chair, Senate Resolution 41 is for the Board of Architects and Landscape Architects. Up today, we have three appointees. We have Matt Fowler, Bozeman, Montana, appointed to a term ending March 31st of 2024. We have Marie O'Neill Conrad from Bozeman, Montana, appointed to a term ending April 1st of 2025. And we have Nathan Steiner from Billings, Montana, appointed to a term ending April 1st of 2025. Thank you.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, would the senator care to close? The senator is closed, and the question now rises on the motion of Senator Small that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Resolution 41, I recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to choose their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 having voted aye, Senate Resolution 41 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 42. What is your pleasure, Senator Small?
Madam Chairman, I move that the nomination transmitted by the Governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution number 42.
Senator Small.
Madam Chair, Senate Resolution 42 is for the Board of Professional Engineers and Professional Land Surveyors. Up today, we have four people for appointments. We have Wallace Gladstone, Billings, Montana, appointed to a term ending June 30th of 2024. We have Pat Goodover II from Great Falls, Montana, appointed to a term ending July 1st of 2026. We have Troy Jensen from Sydney, Montana, appointed to a term ending July 1st of 2026. And last, we have Byron Staley from Helena, Montana, appointed to a term ending June 30th of 2024. Thank you.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, would the sponsor care to close? The sponsor is closed, and the question now rises on the motion of Senator Small that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Resolution 41, I recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 having voted aye, Senate Resolution 41 has passed the Senate. Majority Leader Fitzpatrick.
Madam Chair, I move the committee to rise and report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Motion carries.
Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, we are Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. Senate bills passed. Senate bills 49, 51, 73, 77, 86, 136, 168, 171, 177, 207. Senate resolutions adopted. Resolutions 6, 9, 28, 34, 36, 37, 39, 41, and 42.
Senator Gross.
I move adoption of the committee report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Gross that the Committee of the Whole report be adopted. As many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators having voted aye. The Committee of the Whole report has been adopted. Thank you, Senator Gross.
That is all, Mr. President.
That objection will go to order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 108, introduced by Usher, a bill for an entitled revised laws related to proof of vehicle insurance.
Senate Bill 108, having been read through three several times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 1 has voted no.
49 senators having voted aye, 1 voted no. Senate Bill 108 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 54, introduced by Hertz, a bill for an act entitled revised centrally assessed property appraisals.
Senate Bill 54, having been read through three several times, question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 48 have voted yes, 2 have voted no.
48 senators haven't voted aye, 2 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 54 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 89, introduced by Lynch, a bill for an act entitled Create Pretrial Diversion Pilot Program.
Senate Bill 89 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 42 have voted yes, 8 have voted no.
42 senators have voted aye, 8 have voted no. Senate Bill 89 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 195, introduced by Trebus, a bill for an act entitled Exempt Certain Structures from Building Code Fire Sprinkler Requirement.
Senate Bill 195 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 32 have voted yes, 18 have voted no.
32 senators haven't voted aye, 18 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 195 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 57, introduced by Manzella, a bill for an act entitled Allow Department of Transportation to Use Alternative Project Delivery Methods.
Senate Bill 57 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Brown, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 senators have voted aye. Senate Bill 57 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 184, introduced by Lenz, a bill for an act entitled Revised Procedural Requirements in Child Abuse and Neglect Proceedings.
Senate Bill 184, having been read through three several times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 34 have voted yes. 16 have voted no.
34 senators have voted aye. 16 have voted no. Senate Bill 184 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 191, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled Revised Preliminary Injunction Laws.
Senate Bill 191 having been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 33 have voted yes. 17 have voted no.
32 senators have voted aye. 17 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 191 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Joint Resolution 2, introduced by McGilvery, a bill for an act entitled Resolution for Article 5 of U.S. Constitution Convention of States.
Senate Joint Resolution 2, having been read through three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 25 have voted yes. 25 have voted no.
25 senators have voted aye. 25 haven't voted no. Senate Joint Resolution 2 has not passed the Senate.
That is all, Mr. President.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're on motions. Yep. Move to re-refer Senate Bill 168 to Finance and Claims.
That objection is ordered. That objection will go to order business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Breger.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will meet tomorrow, 9 o'clock, three bills and possibly some executive action.
Senator Asp.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Finance and Claims this afternoon, 4:30. We have three bills to do executive on. If you're busy, come give us a quorum to get started and we'll get the business done. Thank you.
Senator Small.
Mr. President, Senate Business and Labor tomorrow morning, 8:30 a.m., room 422, and five bills. Thank you.
Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. State Administration, 3 p.m. today, three bills to hear, possibly some executive action. Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, 317B, long-range planning, Section F. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator McGilvery.
Mr. President, Public Health, 3 o'clock, multiple bills, executive action.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Natural Resources at 3 o'clock.
Senator Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Education at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning. Joint Appropriations Section E at 8:30.
Senator Hertz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your hardworking tax committee is exhausted. They will not meet Thursday, Friday, or Monday.
Senator Mandeville.
Thank you, Mr. President. Section A will meet tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Senator Friedel.
Thank you, Mr. President. You're even harder working. Senate local government will meet at 3 o'clock, three bills, four bills. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Wellborn. Oops. Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I request to be off the record now of the journal for a purpose of an announcement?
You may request it.
Thank you. Sunday at 5, the 5th at 10:30, there will be a legislators brunch at the Delta, which is the form of the Colonial, sponsored by the Montana Petroleum Association. Please, if you have not RSVP'd, get that done. And also, again, tomorrow afternoon, remember that 4:30, the Minister of Saskatchewan Agriculture will be in the foyer of the House chambers. Thank you.
Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of another announcement.
You may.
Thank you. Mr. President, members of the body, we are thrilled to have with us a couple of VIPs from the great city of Missoula. In the gallery, if I'd like to introduce Alderwoman Jennifer Savage and former Alderwoman Emily Brock Gibson. And as well, I'd like to introduce our fine mayor, Jordan Hess, who's here. Thank you.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate stand adjourned until the hour of 1 o'clock on Thursday, February 2nd, 2023, the 24th legislative day.
You've heard the motion of the Majority Leader. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. Senate will reconvene tomorrow at 1 o'clock.